We're going to start. We were carrying on here. We were discussing straightening them out. Now I lost the thing to the microphone. I'm going to say the set aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can have a new spiritual experience with you today. Help me carry your message today. Amen.
All right. For those who are interested, I put my talk from the at the club up on the site. And so it's on experiencethebook.org if you want to listen to it.
Today, we are on working with others. It's amazing how much time we spent on the book. Getting to these pages, we've covered on Saturdays, we covered the origin of the manuscript, how the book was put together. We've done the steps we took, carry the message on a lot of the 12 and 12 and a lot of the steps. So it's been almost 2 years since we started on Saturday, believe it or not. And now we're on page, I wrote the date down. One thing. We are on page 98. And last week I talked about the Good Samaritan because it's in the big book. It says you have to act the Good Samaritan every day. That's on page 97. I'm not going to review that. But our code of conduct is love and tolerance. And the Good Samaritan is love your neighbor as yourself. And the whole world is your neighbor. And you're supposed to love everyone in the world. And your love is supposed to come from your relationship with God. And you're supposed to have mercy on everyone. Which in that saying in the scripture was an expression of God's love for you through and expressing it to others. And so if you read that, there are really no limits to how we're to serve each other out of love. But then, of course, they do then go on how you have to set boundaries and limit how involved you get with people and do it on a plane, God's plane, rather than a service plane. And I'm going to review on page 98. It says, it's not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute I put my work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon me rather than upon God. So you have to be very careful. We want to carry them to the message, and we want to carry the message to them, but we don't want to carry them. And so you have to figure out what their motives are and how you can help them rather than and how you can help them spiritually as well as in other ways. So it's complicated. He clamors for this and that. Have you had any clamoring alcoholics in your life? Claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. So in other words, people are always making excuses on what they have to be able to do the deal. And guess what they say to that? Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. So this is a truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking as long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Now, what does that really mean? Well, I can't put anything, depend on anything other than God, then that becomes my higher power. And that's still true today. But in the beginning, the new person has to put all of their dependence upon God. And sometimes they have to depend on people who've done the deal to help them to that journey till they find the relationship with God. But you have to have them focused on God. And so if I'm dependent on how other things than God, that becomes my higher power. And then I get disturbed if I don't like the way I see it. Anybody agree with that? And we do it all the time. You could be sober forever and you could still put things, but they're talking about the need to recover, to establish this relationship with God. It has to be, you have to be God can and will if he were sought. And remember, we're to guide people down the path. We're going to talk about that on the next page. And we walk hand in hand. And so I think the emphasis on the dependence of God, if you're working with someone, has to start almost immediately. I hope I emphasize it at the meetings. I have to remind them that all the time. Now, here's a subtle sentence. Burn the idea. Burn this idea into the consciousness of every man. That means into your, so that he understands it and he's aware of this, that he can get well regardless of anyone. And you, when people are new, and it could be even when you're sober a while, there are people that you've become dependent on that are dominating your life. And as long as you still depend on them, you're not going to get the dependence on God. And that's why I caution people. That's why the thing about relationships for a year, I think, got started. I don't know why on day 366 you could have a relationship and on 364 you can't. But there is a relationship you have to have from day one, that's with God. I think the reason they put relationships is because you, people will then depend on that person and get involved in that situation. They separate from God and they have no defense against drinking. It's not that relationships are good or bad. It's just sometimes if they're not spiritually fit relationships, they can lead you away from God. So the only condition for getting well is that he trust in God and clean house. Trust in God and clean house. We need to clean our mind from the things blocking us from God so we can have a relationship with God. And when we have a relationship with God, we have faith and then we have trust. So we start with belief. I believe that God could help me, but till I work the steps and sought him, and he worked in my life, and I could see it, I had faith and trust, and now I could just go to God right away. It occurred to me today that there are only one choice I have all day. The whole program. I don't know if it's true, but I thought it this morning. I can either be disturbed, or I can be at peace. There's only one choice, and if I'm disturbed, I'm away from God. If I'm at peace, I have God. And it's not that complicated. I wrote a thing on the spiritual axiom, and then I got a comment on the site, and I'm not sure I completely understood it. It was talking about Auschwitz. Well, bad things are going to happen to all of us. But the book, and I was thinking about spiritual axiom, it's in the big book, and I read it a lot because it's the line that I saw when Curtis died. It says, we're in the world to play the role he assigns. Just the extent that I do as I think he would have me and humbly rely on him, can I match calamity with serenity? And I think that's a promise. I know that's true. That no matter, and Sandy Beach talks about this a lot, no matter what happens out there, and we're going to read it on the next page, if I'm with God, I will learn how to, I will be able to deal with it in a manner that's fitting. Doesn't mean I don't have to like it, but I can react to it with God differently than without. And so I can have peace even in a bad situation. I saw that in my practice a lot. People who are dying, who are telling me, it's going to be okay, doctor, I'm okay. Well, they had a relationship with God. And the ones who did it had a whole bunch of handouts, and they're running all over the country. You see what I mean? They couldn't deal with the reality of the situation, but I could tell the ones that had a relationship with God, not a religious thing, but a relationship, And they had come to peace with it, which is really a remarkable thing. And when I gave them bad news, they kind of consoled me. It'll be okay. Because they could tell it was hard. You care about people. And so I think if I can be undisturbed at any time if I'm with God. And we can handle any situation. And it's going to come on the next page if I stop blabbering. It says, now the domestic problem. Anybody have domestic problems? And I was reading this, I said, this should be read at every meeting instead of how it works. It says, there may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family, that means amends repairing as he can to the family. What he has done and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living. So here's some suggestions. Make amends as best you can. Try to explain the new principles if they want to hear it. Now, some of them don't want to hear it. But it says he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. So the only thing you can do is if you're getting back into a relationship or resuming a relationship or in a relationship, is put the principles into action at home. It doesn't matter what they're doing, you practice the principles. Now here's the problem. If you haven't done the steps, you don't have the principles to put into action. And I think that's why people say, wait till you have a new relationship or go back, if it's strained, till you have the principles. And the, one of the things I suggest is and I wrote the thought on this, that you do this four-step sex inventory and have a sane sex ideal relationship before you get involved in a relationship. And I've suggested that, and I don't know if anybody's ever done it. That was a joke, by the way. Nobody laughed. That is if he is lucky. Greg thought it was funny. There you go. Greg's my favorite now. That is if he's lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, and this is really important, he should not be concerned about that. Remember, we put the other person over there. We only worry about our side of the street. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. This is a really powerful paragraph on how you're to relate. Concentrate on yourself. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. I have a new thing. I'm going to try to do it all day today. I don't know if I've violated it yet. But I'm not going to say anything unless it's kind, necessary, or true. And if you follow that, and I think there's another expression in Al-Anon that's very similar. If you follow that, I think your day will be better. Because if you're only concentrating on kind, necessary, and true, you're going to stay out of judgment. And it says, avoid it like the plague. By the way, the plague was not good. And so you don't want to argue fault-finding and concentrating yourself. It says it may be difficult to do, and that is why sometimes you may not be able to stay in the same situation for a while, till you've got the tools to be able to do this. But it must be done if any results are to be expected. And I wrote, avoid fault-finding, put the principles in place, and only worry about yourself and how you're doing. And am I being loving, kind, patient, and tolerant? Now, that follows through on page 83 when it talks about amends to the family. And it says, each day I should ask for love, patience, kindness, and tolerance with the family. And I ask for that with the whole human race, whoever I'm going to meet. It says, if persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. And I wrote love and tolerance. Now, it's hard to practice in love and tolerance with an intolerant person. But you have to use those tools on page 67 and say the prayers all the time when people aren't spiritually fit and they're doing things that disturbing you. You have to say the prayers so you can see them as just who they are. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. So I wrote, am I being helpful and friendly at home all the time? Am I being helpful and friendly in all my relationships with everybody I meet? See, the spiritual principles in this chapter are pretty powerful. If they have seen tangible results, the family will perhaps want to go along. These things will come to pass naturally and in good time, provided, however, so there's a warning here that if you want things to get better, you better continue to demonstrate that you can be sober, considerate, and helpful. So it's good to stay sober. That's a very important thing. But you have to be considerate. Considerate is accepting people as they are, and helpful and loving and kind. You can put a whole thing, regardless of what anyone says or does. So you don't have to react. You can always be considerate and helpful no matter what anybody does. So that thing about avoiding retaliation argument, I need to remember that at home a lot. Anybody else need to remember that? You know, you just, it is what it is. And retaliation argument are just separating me more from God. Of course, we all fall much below the standard many times, but we must try to repair the damage immediately, lest we pay the penalty by a spree. And really, what they're talking about is doing step 10 all the time at home. All the time, watching for your judgment, watching for your separation, asking what God wants to remove it. Making amends, forgiving. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. The wife should fully understand his new way of life. You see, it's good information. If their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis, since the former did not work. What would be the better basis? Trusting and relying upon God. Each person depending on God as best they can, but you can't worry about the other person, remember? This means a new attitude and spirit all around. So it's hard to have a better relationship if both parties aren't willing, you see? And you can't make the other person willing. It's like recovery. You can't make the other person willing to be kind and helpful. You can't make another person willing to practice the principles. It says the wife should fully understand this new way of life. I read that. Sometimes it's in the best interest of all concerned that a couple remain apart. Now, I was thinking about this. I have a lot of new people. They're younger, and they have the ex, or the becoming ex, or whatever you want to call it. And they can't get the other person out of their head, and they keep wanting to see them and be with them. And I think you could read these three paragraphs to them as kind of a suggestion. Because if it's not a good relationship, you'll become dependent on them very quickly, and then the recovery becomes secondary, and then a lot of times you don't see them again. Obviously, no rule can be laid down. I'm going to have to quote that because you hear a lot of rules in AA. But obviously no rule can be laid down. Let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. When the time for living together has come, it will be apparent to both parties. That's why I tell a lot of people, just why don't you give it to God, put him in the God box, work on your recovery, and then see if it's meant to be. See what happens. Now here's a subtle paragraph. Let no alcoholic say he cannot recover unless he has his family back. This just isn't so. In some cases, the wife will never come back for one reason or another. And what they're really saying here is there's nothing that can prevent you from recovering on circumstances except you. If you work the steps, you seek God, you're dependent on God, you will recover. And it says, in some cases, the wife will never come back. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. Do you think there's a recurring theme in this book? Especially in this chapter, because this chapter, working with others, has to do with practicing the principle, step 12, in all of our affairs. And how do we get the person to understand that his dependence has to be upon God? That's why I ask people when they celebrate, how did you let God do it? You know, why? It's all God's grace and allowing him to work in my life. The only thing I do is let go of my separation. We have seen men get well. Oh, and the relationship with God has to be the right relationship with God, where God is God and I'm not God. It can't be co-pilot. It can't be saying, God, I want you to help me get this today. It has to be dependent on God completely, abandoning yourselves utterly to him, seeking his will for you, trying to stay out of self-will, which is really hard in the beginning because we've done it our whole lives. Now here's another powerful paragraph. Both you, and I really love this, and I read this, I have it memorized, fortunately or unfortunately, but I go to this paragraph if I'm not grateful. I go to this paragraph sometimes to just guide me where I need to be. But me and the new man must walk. We must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. And that means walking forward, hand in hand. You're not better than the other person. We're all together on this journey, on the path of spiritual progress. Now, if I persist on this, I keep walking day by day, and I wrote here, where are you walking today? Ask yourself, where are you walking today? Are you walking down the path of spiritual progress, or are you off the path in your self-will? And you can do that all the time. If you persist, if I persist in doing this, I make this the central theme of my life, remarkable things will happen. Now, this is so true for me. Other people can speak for themselves. When I look back, that's why I got really emotional. I gave my talk. I kind of cried a little bit. I'm a crier. I get real emotional. When we look back, I realize that the things which came to me when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have planned. If you remember your moment of complete defeat, and you look at yourself today, if you're not filled with gratitude, there's something wrong with you. I mean, there's just something. And that's why when I hear the alcoholic self-pity song, you know, I tell people to write a gratitude list. You know, I'm not being mean, but alcoholics get back in self-pity, and you have a sponsee who's doing real well and things have gotten better and they're full of, oh, I don't have this and I don't have the girlfriend. And I said, hello, write a gratitude list. And the attitude of gratitude really makes sense. Because if you're grateful to God, then it changes your whole perspective. So I like to get to that. If I start worrying about something, I realize that the things that are going to come to me in God's hands in the future could be anything better than I could have planned. So it's also telling you why worry. Just put yourself in God's hands. Walk in the path of spiritual progress. I don't know how they put these lines together and they actually wrote this. It's obviously God inspired. Somebody, I was thinking, a lot of people like to analyze things. The people who wrote this book, the guy who helped write this book, he used the language, the words, but he had sources from so many people. But on November 10th, he was drunk sitting in his kitchen counting the bottles of gin, making sure he had enough gin. And 4 years later, they got this book. And then I was thinking that because I've been studying the scripture, and I hope people don't mind, but this guy, Paul, was talking, and he said, you know, when he was on the Damascus Road, he wasn't thinking about writing the Gospels, right? And ending up serving God and going all over. He was going there to kill other people. And so when you look at the change in people and you see it, you realize this is a very spiritual book. This is a God book written by God for us. And I think the reason Joe and Charlie made it sense to me, why did he write this book for alcoholics? Why didn't he write this for, you know, lawyers or doctors or something? And the point is that we're the only people that would be desperate enough, because we're dying, to actually do this and carry this message. And now, of course, there are 12-step programs for everything, right? And a lot of people study this book. And there's a review on Amazon of the big book by Aldous Huxley, He was a philosopher. And he said, in 100 years, everybody will be reading this book because it's spiritual principles on how to live. When I study scripture, I realize that they tell me how to be, but they don't tell me how to do that. And the big book gives me specific instructions on how to stay in conscious contact with God all the time. And it's useful to everyone. But so anyway, here's the key line. Took me 25 minutes to get here. Follow the dictates. This is it's a strong suggestion, but it's a promise. Follow the dictates of a higher power. Follow God's will. Follow the dictates, and I will presently live, that means now, in a new and wonderful world, no matter what my present circumstances. Now, that's another thing about the serenity, not just the serenity prayer, but the spiritual axiom. If I'm following the dictates of God and I have a relationship with Him, I will live right now, in presently, in a new and wonderful world, no matter what's going on. And that is the greatest promise in the big book. No matter what's going on, it can be okay. I can be okay with it if I'm following the dictates of God and I'm in the now with Him. And so that's really, how do you do that? Well, that's what the whole deal is all about, the working the steps. And when people say work the steps, they're saying follow the dictates of your higher power, and you're going to live in a new and wonderful world right now, no matter what's going on. Now, does anybody think that's a great promise? And it's true. It's true if I do it. If I'm following the dictates of God and I'm living in the now with Him, no matter what happens, it can be okay. It doesn't have to be good or bad out there. It is what it is. Now, isn't that the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity. I'm following the dictates of God to get peace in the now so I can understand what I need to accept or what I have to change. And so it ties in really with the whole deal. Presently live. That means in the now, in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. So I think you could spend a lot of time just on that one paragraph. I think we'll stop there because it all ties together. Dependence on God, relationship with God, how you deal with other people. So I'll shut up. Thank you. Come tomorrow night. It's going to be great. We agnostics.